top of the world. But every time you shade it, every time you come in, you say you're a little unhappy or a little this or a little that, it comes down. Now, I run this thing with some of our employees around the school here. I've run it with members of my family, and it's fascinating to see what kind of numbers people get. The happiest people, the most positive, get the job done, do it cheerfully, agreeable, etc. sort of folks. My secretary one, for example, had a 93% or 91%. Stephanie Gregg, our director of admissions, who was a very positive, very warm, outgoing person, and one of the things we wanted in an admissions office, somebody who made an excellent, friendly impression with people. She got a 93. My daughter-in-law, 91 or 92, Tom's wife, she's one of these bubbly people who's just always get the job done, can do, never too busy to run an errand for you or do whatever you ask her to do or so forth. On the other hand, some people who work here have gotten some very unhappy scores. There's a lady here whose husband is in prison, has an elderly, invalid mother living with her, dependent upon her, a teenage daughter who's pregnant, a teenage son who's kind of unemployed and so forth, dependent on her. She's deeply in debt, etc. She took the test and did so poorly on it, she didn't even leave it on the machine. She took it off the computer. Reputedly, I heard from other people, because this wasn't an exercise that the employees were required to do. We were just sort of doing it for fun. But I heard from other people that her score was a minus 25. So she really, is unhappy. But other people, 59 here, 28 here, and different scores. And as I began to match them up, I say, well, yeah, some of these folks aren't too happy. My score, and it doesn't seem to make any difference what my mood is or how I try to fool a machine, if I get into it and I take the thing with any sort of integrity at all, my score will invariably be between 65 and 70. I'm about two-thirds happy. Even today, I'm about two-thirds happy. And I look at the other people around the office and in the family who score about as I do. And my sense of it is that there's a little antsiness, fidgetiness about us, that there's more to be done, there's something going on. Sometimes I'll be driving with my wife and tapping my hands on the steering wheel of the car. And she says, "Can't you just relax? Calm down, you know?" And because my mind is going a million miles an hour, I'm thinking, I'm a person who doesn't sleep very, very well. Like last night, I was probably awake off and on 2 or 3 hours during the course of an 8-hour period in bed, go to bed. But I'll wake and if sleep fitfully, then I'll be thinking of things during the night. Sometimes get up and write speeches or letters during the night. Or make do lists for the next day, or things that I want to do to remind myself. And when I see a list of words and I see the word unsatisfied, I know that unsatisfied is a negative word. I put it in there as a negative word. You're not supposed to be unsatisfied. You're supposed to be satisfied. If you're happy, you're satisfied. You're unhappy if you're unsatisfied. And every time I see that word, I say to myself, yes, I'm unsatisfied on a lot of things, and I don't think that's so bad to be unsatisfied. I'm going to give myself a 4 or a 6, you know. So I think the sense of being incomplete, unfinished, sort of antsy, there's work to be done, there's something to be accomplished, it's not a bad sense. And really, in terms of real human happiness, I think it probably is an important factor. Without backing away from one whit or comma of what I said to the court in 1980, that I am thankful to the Lord for all of the blessings I've had. And I think one of the blessings is to be a little unsatisfied.
This marks the end of the Brennan tapes, particularly tape 7B.